Good evening, everyone. Thanks so much for being here. Good to see you. Thanks for doing it without me last week. And thanks to Ed for hosting. Ed actually sent me something within the past 2 weeks. He sent me a piece from Alan Watts on irreducible rascality. So, which I'm going to define as that spirit in us that is the trickster or the prankster or the one who's a little harsh or gruff or contrary. And so what I got from Ed's recent email to me is a hope that we all have some rascality in our life. And I agree with that point. Just to be brief about that. And it reminded me of another teaching, which was from Jamie Ona Pangea within the voice dialogue tradition. So during my time at the monastery, we briefly studied voice dialogue, which in brief is a way of looking at the psyche as a self of selves, where that rascality part of us might be described as a voice. So just think of voice as another term for part of us. So we'd have the rascal or the trickster, and there might be several of them that have kind of different flavors to them. And we have, you know, an infinite number of voices. You know, how much time, mental energy do you want to spend on this, right? Several inner children and many, many energies that we can dance with or bring forward or pull back. Because that rascality or any energy we might focus on isn't going to be the right one for every situation, but it'll be one that's nice to have available. So Jamie Ona Pangea said it's like we have a deck of cards, all these selves. So let's say there are 52, like there are in the standard deck of cards. And maybe inevitably, really, at some point in our lives, we try to play one of the cards. We try to bring forward one of the energies that's part of who we are, that's part of our humanness. And we got slapped down in one way or another. We got the message, no, that's bad. And we decided, maybe not, probably not even like consciously, but we decided at some level, that card, I'm never going to play that again, ever. And so now we only have 51 cards, and then 50, and then 49. Yeah. So when we get to adulthood, we're not playing with a full deck. And I don't mean what that phrase usually means, right? It doesn't mean that we're not intelligent, but we've decided, oh, these selves are safe and okay in the world, and these other ones maybe not quite. And we do have to dance with all the energies and listen to feedback we get. But we do hope in the spiritual work and in the intersection of spiritual and psychological work even, to have all these energies available to us. And maybe even where we notice there's some barrier to manifesting something that wants to come forward. You know, we can check, we can check and see if that barrier's there for a good reason. Or we can go ahead and play with expressing whatever energy that is for us. So, yes, rascality as well. Sometimes I think people get my number. comments like this. I'm definitely one who has been overly, I don't know, prim and proper or something like this, or seen as what? Nice all the time and virtuous. Never anything else. Michael, I think, just said virtuous. Yeah, he's being a rascal and sitting in an easy chair on the other side of the room while I give the talk. Yeah? Is that appropriate? Is that okay? Yeah. And I was a rascal and skipped program last week. Yeah, virtuous. Virtuous. Which actually, like, brings me to another point, a connected point, which is I do want to keep the precepts. But I don't think that means letting go of any energy we can think of. There's a time even to, you know, people always, well, there's a time even to, you know, hit somebody, right? Yeah. Don't want to use violence to solve our problems in general, right? So in, I feel like I've grown here and I can bring forward more irreverence and even gruffness and kind of a joking spirit or a trickster kind of spirit. And, you know, sometimes I talk about falling off on one side and falling off on the other of a kind of dance or a cultivation of energies. So as I bring in some more of that maybe sometimes gruffness or not niceness, what I have found that I have to watch inside or I find myself tipping over on the other side, is how I'm holding the other person in my heart mind. So specifically, my litmus test for now, and it's evolving, has become, okay, do I respect this person? Or am I looking down on them some way? Mm-hmm. And with an extreme, it would be like a contempt, like they're really beneath me. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I find that's pretty easy to see. Like if I look inside myself, you know, I don't know it with somebody else. Actually, often we know it with other people too, but if I look inside myself, I can see, oh, okay. So if I respect this person, then a kind of gruffness can be, you know, a tough love or a boundary that I need to set, something like this. And I find when I've tipped into subtly or not so subtly, not really respecting this person or seeing them as less than, it can turn into a kind of bullying. I think what I'm talking about is pretty subtle. Yeah. I hope nobody would call me a bully. Yeah. But I do have to watch my heart mind. And when I find that I'm tipped over on this side, with any particular individual or relationships, and then loving kindness practice is the practice to do. It's the practice to do. I'm going to share something that some of you probably saw on Facebook. In the spirit of rascality. Okay, I don't know if you can see that, but yeah, so this is graffiti, and it says loving kindness, and then there's a skull. And Daitetsu and I saw this on the Chester Creek Trail on our walk. It appeared one day. This is not my art, but I think it's cool. And I don't know how it came to be there, but it seems like, you know, somebody really understands what we've been talking about a lot. In the past several weeks. For one, that reminding ourselves that we're all going to die brings forth loving kindness naturally. And for another, let's be loving and kind towards each other. We are all going to die, right? The other thing I wanted to share today, because I am allowing loving kindness to be more and more a part of my personal practice. Another thing I wanted to share today was a kind of metta hack, M-E-T-T-A, or loving kindness hack. Okay, so what I mean by this is for when I can't quite do it. So sometimes I'm trying to squeeze in my metta practice. You know, I'm not necessarily taking a full meditation period on the cushion, but I've noticed something in relationship to somebody else. I need to do some metta, so I'm, you know, walking and doing metta, or eating and doing metta, trying to. And when I can't quite summon it. I remembered this past week a tool I learned from a teacher named Irina Weissman. And she taught it with forgiveness practices. She said when she can't quite do it, she says something like, "May I sow the seeds to be able to do this at some point in the future. May I sow the seeds to be able to do metta practice for this person in the future. May I sow the seeds to open my heart towards this person in the future." Like whatever works for you there. May I set the intention to, in the future, be able to do this. And I find that to be a good hack. I find that with however I say that, I've just done some metta, and I can feel it. I can feel it. I feel it in the chest, usually, and some people feel it elsewhere. There's not a right place to feel it. The other place I feel it when I do metta for people that I'm, you know, in ongoing relationships with in my daily life is I notice shifts in the relationship. And that's still somewhat surprises me. Even though it's a consistent pattern, because you know, we don't do metta to change another person. And yet, somehow, somehow, I don't even quite get it. Maybe someone else has some more insight into this and we can share afterwards. But somehow, it's like they're different too. I feel like it's not just me. Yeah. Yeah. Like if you've been doing metta for me, well, I don't know. All right. Well, that is what I'm going to say tonight. Thank you very much.